Please open your scriptures with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Please rise with me for the reading of God's Word. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Please flip a few pages earlier to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. Let us read it together. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to invite up Pastor Wilson to give us a message entitled, The Demand of the Kingdom, Treasure and Purpose.
Years ago, I know a friend. He is a businessman. He owned an IT company in Taiwan. And I knew him because he was my first year classmate in seminary. And that was a particular year because that year, before the school year starts, there was a flooding in the city. And he bought a new apartment in an area that was heavily flooded. So that apartment, the value of that apartment dropped sharply. And not to mention that because of that, his business also was in trouble. And he is not the only owner of this company, but there was a group of co-owners that worked with him together as a startup company in IT. So in the beginning of the school year, during orientation, we were going through every student and try to introduce ourselves. And he introduced himself in a way that he said, I'm so-and-so, I own a company which is in trouble. And I own a new apartment which also is in trouble. And then everybody was looking at him. And I remember there was some people asked the question. The question was, then what are you going to do next? Because when that person asked the question was because we are sitting in a class, newcomers in the seminary. And these people, they were all equipping themselves to be ministers. It's a full-time program. It's a vigorous program. It demands a lot of time and energy. How on earth could he take care of his business as well as his apartment in trouble? His answer was very simple. He said, God called me to serve him full time. So now serving God, being equipped as God's servant, is my number one priority. My company, my apartment, God will take care of that. Now upon hearing that answer, people probably would think, and you probably would think, okay, then probably God will take care of that. Not so. In the following 3 years, during our seminary's education, every year, when we get together and pray for each other, he and I were in the same small group within the seminary. And trouble after trouble, the board of trustees after him, asking him, you know, you sign your name on that, you should take care of the business, and if the business is going down the drain, then when the debtor come, you have to pay. And the apartment that he owned, he never moved in. He never lived in for one day. It's a brand new apartment, but because of the flooding, the building structure was in trouble. And over those 3 years, those two things continued to trouble him. But I noticed one thing on his face every time. Every time he shared with us on that difficulties, he was with a smile. And today, he is a pastor. And I don't know whether those two difficulties has been resolved. But I noticed one thing. He gladly take on the course that God called him, because he saw something far more valuable than those two things that he owned. Another story involved a British girl. Her name is Jackie Pullinger. Maybe some of you heard of it, because she wrote a book called Chasing the Dragon, something like that, the title. She grew up in South London. Her father owned a factory. She lived in a wealthy, peaceful, stable family. And she said, you know, we grow up, we assume we are all Christian because we've been doing that thing with the water on our head in the church. She was referring to infant baptism. And every Sunday we go to church. So we have never have a second thought that we are Christian. But until she was enrolled in the Royal School of Music, she attend a Bible study. At there, she started to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. And she realized what is faith and what does it mean to become a Christian. That was 1966. And she asked herself this question not long after her conversion, not long after she became a Christian, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She asked this question: if Jesus is true, which I now believe, and if I like him, at the end of my life, I would like to spend it well. So, what shall I do? How do I spend my life? She asked herself that question. And the result of searching, praying, and trying to answer that question, she embarked on a journey to find a foreign mission field, and it ended up in Hong Kong. And she spent the rest of her life until today to serve the people in Hong Kong, especially those who are drug addicts. She walked among them, she lived among them, she endured a lot of hardship, a lot of attack, a lot of difficulties. In the past almost 40 years, she devoted her life because she asked that question: how should I spend my life well? This morning, presented in front of us is two parables. We are very familiar with those two parables. One is a hidden treasure. The other one is a pearl that a merchant found. Last week, we talk about the Lord's Prayer. And the foundation of the Lord's Prayer is the word, the title, Father. Because Jesus wants to remind us and want us to hold on, the most important thing is when we build relationship with God, when we pray to Him, this father, son, and daughter relationship is the most important aspect. Because it has tremendous implication. It implies to us that God cares about us. It implies to us that God wants to enter into an intimate relationship with you and I. And it implies that God has a loving and accepting heart to all. It is with that foundation we can call out to God and present our petition to Him. Now this morning, with that relationship, the second thing come is, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With that relationship, we ought to set apart ourselves as well as God Himself as the most important, the highest priority in our life because of that loving relationship. And then when we put up our request, when we present our request before God, the first thing that Jesus taught us is, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Before we ask for anything, Jesus taught us we have to put the first thing first. Now this is related to those two parables. Now notice in this parable, there's two important things. The first thing is, God's kingdom is valuable and also available to all, but it demands immediate action. In the first part of the parable, in the first parable, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now this is a parable. We should not press on all the details. And actually, those details that Jesus put in to make it more realistic. Now people will question, now should we, are we buying our way into the kingdom? Or is it moral for this guy to discover something and hide it again and go out and get the money and buy that? That is not the point that Jesus tried to communicate. What Jesus tried to communicate is, this guy working in a field, he accidentally came across something valuable. He accidentally came across the treasure. He did not set out to find it. He did not search for it. He did not seek it. But accidentally, he came across that. And he realized the value. So what he did was, he put it back, didn't tell anybody, and sold everything he had, and bought that field. Now, in a very similar way, the second parable, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Very similar, but this time is someone who deliberately tried to find something valuable. Not only he's deliberately tried to find a fine pearl, but also he is a merchant. He knows that. He is very familiar with that. He's in that kind of business. He knew what he's looking for. And he searched for it earnestly. And once he found it, he did the same thing. Went home, sold everything, and bought it. Now Jesus putting these two cases before us, two parables in front of us. One came across the treasure accidentally. The other one deliberately tried to find that. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is available to all. Whether you came across it accidentally or you deliberately try your best to seek for that, it doesn't matter. It is available to all. To all walks of life. To all sort of motivation. It's available to all. Not only is it available to all, but it is valuable. It has tremendous value. Now here, those two parables has a very distinct point. These two treasures, the treasure in the field and the pearl, the very nature of it is hidden. It is not obviously presented. It is hidden. It is, you cannot see that right away. It is not show off in the public. It is in a situation like that that we found God's kingdom. God's kingdom not always presents itself in a glorious way. Now remember the first parable that we studied a couple weeks ago about sowing two kinds of seed. The landowner sowed the seed to grow the crop, but the enemy sowed the seed of wheat to grow at the same time. In that parable, we learn that Jesus telling us that God's kingdom will come, but in the beginning, it will be very insignificant, even devastating. Here, the very hidden nature of the treasure of the pearl itself communicates to us the same point. God's kingdom in the beginning might be very insignificant, not easy to spot. It's not in a glorious way, it's not in a way that we expected it to be. But once we dig into that, we find that it has tremendous value. God's kingdom could be hidden in church conflict. God's kingdom could be hidden in a situation maybe your family is going through, some member of your family going through difficulties, sickness, depression. God's kingdom could be hidden in a situation that is not ideal. But it demands our immediate action in order to get a hold on God's kingdom. In order to get a hold on God's kingdom. It demands our action to do that. Because God's kingdom is so valuable. We experience part of this value. What are those values? First, God's kingdom is a place, is a refuge for us to run away, to deliver us from the power of darkness. If you struggle with sin, if you struggle with habitual sins, you will understand what I said. God's kingdom is a refuge for us to run away from the power of darkness. The kingdom, in God's kingdom, people will under God's kingdom's rule and influence and deliver us from hell. One of the reasons we don't see the value of the kingdom is because we don't understand how terrible, how horrible hell is. I remember, I believe it was last year, there was a guest speaker coming from a seminary. He wrote two books. I bought it from him. And the theme of the book is to tell people about hell. Because if we don't understand hell, we don't know how marvelous of God's kingdom is. And this speaker actually is a professor in a seminary. He said, it is very, very important for us to let people know what hell is so that we know what is at stake. If we don't understand what hell is, we don't understand what is God's kingdom. I believe that is true. I shared this before. Years ago, when I was a school teacher, I remember one day, the teacher has to go through staff development, training. So the students stay home, get a day off, but the teacher has to go to school, and we've been sent to different locations to receive different training. And my location was an address in South Bronx in New York City. I didn't know how to get there, and when I checked the subway map, there was no train around that area. So in other words, I have to take a bus. So I get up early and go and wait for the bus. When the bus came, I hop on the bus. The first thing that I get on board of the bus is I show the bus driver this address and tell him, would you please, when this arrives, let me know so that I can get off. Because I have no idea where it is. He said, not to worry, sit behind me. So I sat behind him and the bus take on. A long journey. Bus driver is slow in Manhattan. And when I was enjoying the scene out there, gradually I realized something different happened. The building started to get a little bit dirtier. And now I see graffitis. And now I see there's no windows but wooden board being put up. And now I see a lot of rubbles. And I said to myself, uh-oh. I hope past this neighborhood, then I will find that elementary school. But unfortunately, while I was looking outside the window, getting nervous every minute, the bus stopped, the door opened, nobody stand up. The bus driver turned around and said, sir, this is your stop. Now you can get off. So I got off, standing there. After the bus depart, I look around. Because there was no school day that day. So there was a lot of kids. There was a lot of kids around the block playing basketball. Now those kids are higher and bigger than me. I'm standing there waiting for the traffic light. And I know that when I pass that traffic light, I will be in that elementary school. But while I was waiting, then the kid suddenly turned around and looked at me the whole block. And someone yelled out, "Hey, are you Japanese or Chinese?" I look around. You think I answered that question? I disregard whether it's a red light or a green light. I ran to this elementary school. And for the rest of the day, I didn't know what training content was because I was worried about how do I get home. Now, at that moment, I was thinking, this is very close to hell. Why? Because even with a blue police car next to me, with a whole block of kids looking at me, I think they can do whatever they want to me. And I have no power nor any strength to prevent that. I thought about that experience on that day, and I start to understand a little bit about what is hell. Can you imagine we spend eternity in that kind of situation if we're without Jesus? That people can do all sort of bad, molestous things toward each other with no respect, with no regard, and continue in a journey never end, hurting each other. If we understand what is hell, then we understand the value of God's kingdom, and we understand how devastated we are, that we are in deep need of God's kingdom. God's kingdom delivers us from the power of darkness. God's kingdom delivers us from this eternal torture. God's kingdom delivers from all this hurt and all this sinful nature. God's kingdom gives us peace, joy, and love, and is unshakable, and it is everlasting kingdom. When we understand what is at stake, then we understand the treasure. And with that understanding, then we will gladly give up all what we have and purchase and bought that treasure. God's kingdom is valuable and is also available to all, but it demands our immediate action. Not only God's kingdom is valuable and available to all, but it is so valuable that no sacrifice is too much for us in order to be a citizen. God's kingdom is so valuable that it's worth whatever sacrifice it takes to be a citizen. Paul said, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, he said, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Paul recognized the value of God's kingdom. And he counted everything loss in order to gain God's kingdom. Our culture is saturated with consumer mentality. Consumer mentality is, if that thing works for me, if that thing is best for me, I go for it. And if another brand name come up and is better than that one, I will abandon that and pursue that one. I'm not saying that is totally wrong, but that has an impact on us because we're so used to that. And therefore, that attitude translates into different aspects in our lives. And therefore, for a lot of people in America, faith, religion, is not a commitment. It's something to add on our list of priorities. So in other words, when it's convenient for us, we go to church. When it's convenient for us, we attend small group. When it's convenient for us, we involve in ministry. But when it's inconvenient, we withdraw. We switch our loyalty. We disappear. That is the problem. Because God's kingdom, if we recognize its value, we recognize how treasurable it is, then we will not take it lightheartedly as a consumer. Because God's kingdom actually will consume us, will demand our life, will demand our highest priority. John Piper, once he commented on this parable, and I quote him, this is what he said. "This parable describes how someone is converted and brought into the kingdom of heaven. A person discovers a treasure and is impelled by joy to sell all he has in order to have this treasure. The kingdom of heaven is the abode of the king. The longing to be there is not longing for heavenly real estate, but for companionship, for fellowship with the king. The treasure in the field is the fellowship of God in Christ. I conclude from this parable that we must be deeply converted in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we are converted when Christ becomes for us a treasure chest for holy joy." I think his comment on this parable is right on. We have to be deeply converted and brought into the kingdom of heaven. And this is not by our merit. It's by the labor of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when we have fellowship, when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, God's kingdom dawns on us. And it's on that base we continue to grow and to continue to pursue God. Because we know that He is worthy of all our effort, all our energy, and all our priority. I discovered a guy named Mel Fisher on the internet. And I put up that web page for you. Mel Fisher is a legend. He's a legend because when he was young, he discovered, he calculated that in the 1600s, Spanish warship encountered a hurricane and sank in the area near Florida, Key West. So he spent his life trying to find that treasure, those sunken ships, to discover the treasure. Mel Gibson passed away in 1998. But he set up this company called the Mel Fisher's Treasures. And you can see that they try to attract investors. But he spent most of his life going after those treasures. Set up a company, hire people, organize it together with equipment, with knowledge, with studies and all these things, try to find those sunken Spanish warships. Not only that, but he endured a lot of difficulties and hardship because the federal government were going after him, saying that those treasure belongs to the country. So he encountered more than 100 court cases, court battle with the government, with different organizations, and finally brought it to the Supreme Court, and he won that. He is not a Christian. Actually, he has no faith. But is someone in this secular world, when he spots something valuable, he gladly pour out his life and went after that. And the next slide show you his model. Today is the day. That's what he said. Now for us all here, is today the day for you and for me that we need to make that decision? That God's kingdom, that God himself, is no longer one of the things on our list of add-ons. But rather, he is the priority. He is the one, he is the treasure, he is the pearl, that worthy for us to sold everything that we have in order to take a hold on Him. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer reminded us before we request for anything, because we have a lot of needs. But the most fundamental one, the most important one, is we need God Himself. He is our holy joy. He is our treasure. He is the pearl, the fine pearl. Let's bow our head and pray. The treasure, the pearl, has a hidden nature. In a way that it is in situation that is to our surprise, maybe even in daunting situation. But God's promise is He's there. This morning, I want to invite you to do a little soul searching. Are we come to the church? Are we come before God with a consumer mentality? Or we are willing to be consumed by Him? Are we willing to put Him back on the top priority in our lives? He will not disappoint us, because He's the most valuable one in the whole universe. If you decide to make the decision, I invite you, would you raise your hand before God and I pray for you. Thank you. If you want to put God back on the top priority, willing to be consumed by Him, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your guidance. But most important of all, we thank you because you are the one. You are the most important one in our lives. We pray for those brothers and sisters and friends that will raise their hand. Today, this morning, they want to make a decision before you that no other thing in life will replace you. You and you alone is the highest priority in my life. Thank you. May you give us strength and grace that we'll live our life according to that decision. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.